Good morning, everyone. Just got a couple announcements I want to get out this morning. First of all, regarding Easter, we're not going to have an Easter breakfast this year, but the breakfast committee is working on it. I see Dave over here, Doug over here, so I want to just donuts, right? I think we got that plan. Everybody's going to get a half dozen donuts after service. On Easter. So after each service, in lieu of an Easter breakfast, we'll be handing out a half dozen donuts to each family. So which I mentioned at council that I'm at all three services. Hey, I say I get three boxes because I'm at three services. They're going to take them home before I get there and have them gone. So that'll be our in lieu of the Easter breakfast this year. And as the breakfast committee had said, you know, last year we had nothing. So we didn't even have church last year. So what a blessing it is to be able to have church and this far with the Easter breakfast. So that's the plan this year. Looking forward to it. Also, Peggy Meyer wanted me to announce that there'll be Sunday school starting up on April 11th. So the Sunday after Easter, we'll be starting up with Sunday school. Little kids, high school, and then one adult class. So all the adults will be together in the auditorium to start off with. Monday, that's tomorrow, there should be an email going out that has attached to it the reopening plans for each level of the Sunday school. So you'll be able to see that. It's too much for me to just mention everything now. Look for the email, and then there'll also be mailings, I believe, going out with the plans that will be posted on either our Facebook or website. Thank you, honey. That's words. I'm having trouble this morning. So Peggy says Monday an all church email will be sent out that will welcome everyone back and have the plans attached to them so you can read them. So be looking forward to that. And then lastly, Mrs. Hunsley gave me a note that says a spring cleaning at Zion Lutheran School will take place next Saturday morning from 8:30 to 10:30. So spring cleaning. Jobs to get done will include picking up the litter around the property, cleaning up the flowers in front of the school, and moving the rock on the playground back under the slides, the swings, and other equipment. So that will be going on next Saturday, 8:30 to 10:30, out at school. So having got that out in bits and pieces, let's turn to the worship service this morning and open with the singing of our opening hymn.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the March 21st worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Casey Jones. Glenn and Tammy Wieselman and Martin and Kate Van Slett are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in honor of Samuel David Van Slett's first birthday. The Kathy Beaver Memorial Fund is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The open hymn is number 435, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain, hymn number 435 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our full heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive psalm. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word.
With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments.
I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes.
With my lips I declare all the just decrees of your mouth.
In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches.
I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways.
I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading for this, the fifth Sunday in Lent, is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A catechetical review. In regards to the Ten Commandments, what is the second commandment?
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks.
The epistle reading from Hebrews, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. For every high priest is chosen from among men and is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says in another place, You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Lenten verse. According to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them over to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is the gospel of our Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our Christian faith at the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory, to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The sermon hymn is number 350, Come Thou Precious Ransom, Come. Hymn number 350, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Thus far the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Well, it was very nice with that sermon hymn to hook, you know, Advent together with Lent, because it was an Advent hymn. So you see how the whole church year, you know, flows together. And when we look at our text for today, it is the pinnacle of this particular reading and the reading of why it is a Lenten reason, because it speaks of what Jesus is going to do, what he was in fact born to do, which is to be the sacrifice for our sins. Jesus had, just before our text, he had predicted his death at the hands of sinful men. He was on the road to Jerusalem. His disciples were amazed that he was going there, because Jerusalem was the hotbed of opposition to his preaching and teaching, and they were a little bit worried about him. And everyone appeared to be expecting that some sort of confrontation was going to happen between the religious leaders and Jesus in Jerusalem. Okay, so, you know, you've got this whole scenario beginning to play out, and what's going on in people's minds and what they're thinking about. And Jesus had very bluntly told them that the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles will mock him, they will spit on him, they will flog him, they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise again. Thing is, all of that part of it, it just doesn't seem to sink into them yet. So on one hand, they're expecting this confrontation, maybe even a deadly confrontation. On the other hand, when Jesus says, "I'm going to die," it's not, you know, sinking into what they're thinking at this point in time. So Jesus tells about his suffering and his death, and pretty much right after that, while they're still on the road, or whether or not they're on, you know, sitting down, taking a rest break or something like that, don't know. But James and John, and if we read the other Gospels, their mother Salome comes up to make a request of Jesus. "Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Right? There's always, you know, a red flag that goes up. Somebody asks you for something before they tell you what that something is. But Jesus says, "Well, what is it that you would ask of me?" Well, the trio here asks that when Jesus comes into his kingdom, and the mother did, and according to the other Gospels, the mother said this, that her two sons could hold positions of prime authority when Jesus comes into his kingdom, one to sit on his left and one to sit on his right. And Jesus says, basically, "That's not for me to grant." Okay. And then he asked them, "Are you going to be able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am?" And the men at this time did not know the future, obviously. They didn't know how they were going, this was all going to play. "Well, yes, we can. Yes, we can." As history tells us, these two brothers ended up being the bookends of Jesus' disciples, of the apostles. James was the first martyr. He was put to death for his faith in Christ. John lived the longest, but was imprisoned in exile and went through a lot of other things for the sake of the gospel. So Jesus is telling them, "You're going to suffer for my sake." First one to die, and John the last. James the first to die, John the last to die of the apostles. But at this point, their conception of everything that's going on, even with their fear of Jesus going to Jerusalem, is that he's going to defeat his enemies and he's going to raise up an earthly kingdom of worldly power and glory. And so they're asking to sit on each side of his throne when that happens. Not so. It's not going to happen that way. And we all know the answer that Jesus gives. And when the other disciples catch wind of this, they are rightly put out and have their noses out of joint with the brothers. And Jesus, ever patient, is the one who calls them all together and begins to teach them on how the kingdom of God works. And he's going to tell them, "Look, it doesn't work according to worldly wisdom. It doesn't work according to worldly ways. My kingdom is going to work in a totally different way." Human kingdoms work like this, he says. And this is just the nature of how they work. It's neither wicked nor great. It just is the way it is. And worldly kingdoms work like this. The powerful maintain, the way they maintain their power is that they ride on the backs of other people. That's how the world works. The worldly leaders maintain power on the backs of other people. And for good or ill, for good rulers and bad ones, and that's just how it plays out. So, in the worldly kingdoms, the pyramid is wide at the base and points up like this to one person in charge. And that's how worldly kingdoms work. Jesus flips this view upside down. He puts the point at the bottom and the base at the top. Okay? So is the point down here and the wide group is at the top. And what he's saying is saying the highest in the kingdom is the one who is serving everybody else. So Jesus instructs his followers on how the kingdom works, because that's exactly how he himself works. The one serves the all, not the all serving the one. So Jesus tells the disciples, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And there, that's why this is a Lenten text, because it encapsulates the purpose and work of Jesus Christ in the sum and the substance of his kingdom. Now, it might be normal and valid in worldly kingdoms that power runs from the top down, but not so in his kingdom. He says, in the kingdom of God, and did you catch what Jesus says when he says that? He says, whoever. This is open to everybody. Right? He doesn't say the select few. He says, whoever. Greatness in the kingdom of God is open to all. No one is accepted. No one is pushed aside. Rather, everyone in the kingdom of God has this opportunity for greatness. In the world, the great ones, he says, sit on the backs of the lesser ones. In the kingdom of God, the great ones bear the lesser ones on their backs. In fact, to the great in Jesus' kingdom will bear and have the mind of a ready and willing servant. That's what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. So what is this servant? This servant is one, and we take this to heart, right? This servant is one who is intent on rendering service to others and not intent on telling everybody else how things should be done. Ready and willing to serve Christ's people combined, right? Ready and willing to serve Christ's people combined together with a choice to serve. Serve whether you get thanks or no thanks. It doesn't matter. So you've got these things combined together in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. Whoever must be first or would be first, Jesus says, must be the slave of all. That is really turning things on their head and upending things. The lowest and the humblest of all servants who actually slaves for others for the sake of Christ. That's what a Christian is aiming at. And here we see how hard this is and how patient Jesus is with all of us. Often, you know, when we want to serve, and I find this, maybe you find this, I find this in my own head, a lot of times we serve because we know it's what we ought to do, not necessarily because it's what we want to do. Right? But we know we ought to serve, so we put on the servant's garments, we put on the servant's shoes and the servant's gloves, and we serve others. Not bad, but, you know, sometimes we're serving despite the fact instead of because of the fact. Right? And what we see this big difference between ought to and want to is that how hard it is for us to subdue our old Adam, how hard it is to cover our old Adam up. Because our old Adam always wishes to bend others to our will, right? And have ourselves come out on top. Still, what Jesus says is absolutely true in his kingdom. Greatness is measured by the service and not by the power and the authority. And Jesus gives us the example in and of his own life. He is the Son of Man. Yes, a man, and yet at the exact same time, true God, the Son of God incarnate, God in the flesh, infinitely power, omnipotent. He is the Word of creation. He is the Lord over all. And what did he make a choice to do? Right? He who could have compelled all of humanity to be his slaves simply by a word, right? He chose to be the servant of all humans and to bear all humanity on his back. That is what he chose to do. The purpose of Jesus' life was not to receive or to take, but the purpose of his life was to give. What then is it? And you know the answer to this already, but what then is it that the Jesus of Nazareth will give? Right? It's already flashed into your head, right? But we're going to say this anyway. Okay, he will give his life. That's what he says, his life. And immediately think of that, we think of this right here. You know, Jesus is going to give his life as a ransom for many. Right? But let's also, when we say give his life, let's also think of everything that happened in between his conception and the words, "It is finished." Okay? All of it in between. Right? The Greek words are suke, his life. That he is giving that which animates himself, right? That is your life. Whatever this thing that makes you, you, this thing that gives you the living, breathing ability, the thing that animates you, the thing that flees to heaven at the moment of your death, Jesus is giving this. You know, that's what he says. I'm giving that for the sake of all humanity. Okay, that is the life, which is the price with which we were bought. He gave himself over to deliver us from the domain of darkness. He gave himself to deliver you from the domain of darkness. He gave himself to redeem you from all lawlessness and make you a people for his own possession. He gave his life in ransom. One for the many, instead of the many trying to pay what it was clearly incapable of themselves to pay. One for all in their place. He is the payment of sin. His life is the price of the release of bondage, and by his death, reparations are made to God the Father. Jesus' life is given into death. The ransom is paid in blood. The death of Jesus effects this releasing of us and effects the redemption of many, all humanity. Okay. The ransom that is Christ, right? He is the ransom. The ransom that is paid for our guilt and our sin, which held us liable to the penalties that were due at the hands of God. Okay? The wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life. Jesus paid the ransom. He paid the penalty. He paid the liability. He gives us eternal life. This is a liability which we couldn't pay, but Christ intervened willingly on our behalf. He paid for us, as we say in the explanation to the second article of the Creed, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. The ransom is exchanged for the many. Jesus, the God-man, the incarnate Word of God, bears all humanity on his back, and he is the servant of all. This is what Jesus is saying. Jesus paid the price for all people. And as St. Paul would later write, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. In Christ we have obtained the promised inheritance until we take full possession of it to the praise of his glory. He who gave his life for the many then becomes our model for Christian service, so that we too might walk in love as Christ walked in love for us. And so the exhortation of Jesus Christ is to follow in his footsteps, shed worldly ambition, and partake instead of the greatness of the Son of Man. He gives his life as a ransom for many. And in this way, Jesus leads his disciples and we ourselves towards Holy Week, to Jerusalem and to Calvary, to be the greatest servant of all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now may that peace, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now rise for prayer. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, you give great blessings. Each morning we receive your goodness, and for your great love we offer you our praise. We thank you for the servanthood of your Son, our Savior Jesus, and of your grace. We humbly ask that we would be given your Spirit so as to emulate the servant heart of Jesus. Give your Spirit that we reflect to the world the redemption that was won for us through your Son's sacrifice, so that others would be saved and brought to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Hear us, O Christ, as we pray for the sick and the ailing among our congregation. Strengthen and support the faith of those whose bodies are ailing and of advanced age, so that those who have become weaker find their strength in you. Be, O Savior, the constant companion of the lonely. Support them in their quiet hours, assuring them of your presence. And may we each in our infirmities trust in your providence and your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, we pray you to guard and protect the children of our congregation from the snares of the devil and from harm and danger, keeping them in the household of faith unto eternal life. Watch over our families out of your fatherly care, and bless all women with child, that their pregnancies may come to full term, and that they be blessed with the miracle of new life within their homes. All these things we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. We continue now with the singing of the offertory. Approach the Lord's table this morning. Please remember as you come down the center aisle to put your masks on. We will still be coming in single file down and receiving the sacrament continuously. Let us continue with the preface. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sundays at 10 and 5 and on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you.
Thank you.
Let us rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Almighty God, that you have refreshed us to this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 392, God Loves Me Dearly. Hymn number 392, found in the Lutheran Service Book. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.